All right, joining us, it's the Hall of Famer, Dave Van Horn. I enjoy listening to him. And by the way, tell me about Cooperstown.
It was the greatest 4 days not being behind a microphone, because I always consider my job the greatest job in the world. So, but those 4 days in Cooperstown were just remarkable to be with those men that are in the Hall of Fame, those former players, so many of them that I've seen and broadcast games in which they played, and it was just a tremendous honor. And the people at the Hall up there in Cooperstown, they take such good care of the honorees. So to be a Ford C. Frick Award winner and an honoree and introduced to the fans in front of all those Hall of Famers and have a chance to talk to everybody for a few minutes, it's just a thrill of a lifetime.
Dave Van Horn with us, Ford C. Frick Award winner last year. How'd you like breakfast at the Otisaga and looking around and seeing the people having breakfast with you?
Well, I can say, Marty, it was great to go back there because I've been there before and sat out on the porch and had breakfast there and had an evening cocktail out there overlooking the lake. And it's a beautiful setting. And, of course, it is home for those 4 days to all of the Hall of Fame family. So it was a wonderful time, and it was an opportunity to share that with my wife, my daughter, and my family. My sons were there, and I had grandchildren there, so it was a wonderful time.
Yeah, the Otisaga Hotel, boy, I thought I was in heaven watching Robin Roberts walk around and Louis Aparicio and George Kell, and my God, I'll never forget it.
Well, that's why I say it's an unforgettable experience. It was absolutely overwhelming at times, but just a great time. Thanks for asking.
All right, Dave, Duke Snider, and I love hearing Duke Snider stories, and you work with Duke Snider with the Expos as a broadcaster. And last year when we had you on, you said, well, next year I'll tell you some Duke Snider stories, so I'd love to hear some.
Well, I will. I was very blessed because I grew up in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania, and I grew up a Dodger fan, so I knew all about those Brooklyn Dodgers. And in the early years of my career, I was fortunate enough to work not only with Don Drysdale and with Pee Wee Reese, my first couple of years doing television there, but with Duke Snider, the great Duke Snider, for 15 years. A couple of my favorite stories with Duke. One goes back to 1963. It was really a bad year for Duke because his playing days with the Dodgers were over with him. He had been sold to the New York Mets. And these were the early New York Mets, managed by Casey Stengel, and they were still playing in the Polo Grounds. Shea Stadium was under construction but had not been completed. And so Duke used to joke about the fact that he said, you know, the only reason they got me over here to the Mets was to sit beside Casey in the dugout and keep him awake during games. He said that was my primary job. He said, I was 38 years old. I didn't have anything left, 37 or 38, and I didn't have a thing left, but there I was with the Mets, and I had to keep Casey awake. And he said, one day in particular, he said, I noticed Casey starting to nod off, and I thought, well, I better engage him in some conversation here to keep him awake, because that's my job now. So he nudged Casey, and he said, Casey, he looked up at the scoreboard, and Duke said, we were down something like 17-3 in the game, and I said, Casey, how come they get 17 and we only have 3? What's the difference between these two clubs? And he said, Casey, who just awakened from this snooze he was taking, looked over at the other dugout and looked at Duke, and he said, because they got ebony in their bats over there, and we got balsa wood in our bats over here.
Boy, the great Casey Stengel. And Duke ended up being a San Francisco Giant, and that's a story as well.
Sold to the Giants, and he said, imagine my state of mind being a Dodger and being sold to the Giants. It was my last year, 1964. And he said, and this was one of Duke's favorite Giants stories, and it's a true story. It's one of those, as they say, you can look it up. But the Dodgers were in town to play a weekend series. And so Alvin Dark was the manager of the Giants, and on a Saturday night, prior to a Sunday game when Drysdale was scheduled to pitch for the Dodgers against the Giants at Candlestick, Alvin called Duke into his office after a Saturday afternoon game, and he slid a $100 bill across his desk toward Duke, and he said, I know you're going to go out with the big boy here. It's all on me, and make sure you use all $100. Take care of the big boy tonight. So Duke and Don, we're going to go out anyway. And Duke told Alvin that, said, Alvin, you don't have to pay for it, but I'll take the $100. And sure enough, they went out to dinner and had a couple of cocktails that night. So now it's the next morning. It's Sunday, and Drysdale's going to pitch against the Giants. And Duke stopped by the Dodger, the visiting clubhouse at Candlestick, before he went into the Giant clubhouse, and he saw Drysdale in there. Then he went over to his own clubhouse, the Giant clubhouse. He walked into Alvin's office, and he said to Alvin, he said, Skip, I think we're in trouble. And Alvin said, why, Duke? He said, well, I did what you wanted to do with the big boy last night, but he's over there in the trainer's room having a cold one right now to get ready for this encounter. Well, that Sunday afternoon, after Duke and Drysdale had partied that night, Don Drysdale went out and beat the Giants 9-1. As a matter of fact, I believe Duke tells the story, I think Willie Mays drove in the only Giant run. Now it gets down to the ninth inning of the game. The Dodgers are up 9-1. Drysdale's still out there pitching. He's going to complete this game and win it. Two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and Alvin walked down the bench and said, Duke, go up and pinch hit. Well, Duke looked out at Drysdale. Drysdale looked into the Giant dugout, saw Snyder coming, and the two of them started to laugh. And Duke said, we laughed at each other all the way through my strikeout, which ended the ball game.
Boy, I love this story. Great story from Dave Van Horn. And, boy, the folks in Miami are lucky to have you broadcasting there. But Duke didn't really like being a Giant. It didn't look right in the uniform.
Well, I think you have to go back to that time and place. Now, it's a little more comfortable for players to switch teams and switch leagues and everything, and it wasn't back then. And it was a tough time for Duke. He said he loved San Francisco, the city. He just had a very difficult time being a Dodger and still being a Dodger at heart, putting that Giant uniform on. But in later years, Duke, of course, with great respect for all of the fellow Hall of Famers that he got to know so well after his playing days, that wore that Giant uniform, and Duke maintained a soft spot in his heart for that final year. But at the time, it wasn't easy for him to digest.
That's right. Dave, Tim McCarver gets the Ford C. Frick Award this year. Just very briefly, some of your thoughts about Tim McCarver and his worthiness for that award?
Well, I was really happy to see that happen for Tim, because I think all of us in this business realize that to a large degree he was quite a pioneer, along with Tony Kubek, who also went in as a broadcaster. So and was honored with the Ford C. Frick Award. So it's certainly a just honor for Tim McCarver, who sort of established a standard for television analysts everywhere, and maintains that to this day. So I was very happy to see Tim. I was very fortunate to get to know him when he was playing, of course, with the Cardinals in his later years, then with the Phillies. And as a matter of fact, he was traded one year because Gene Mock wanted him on the Montreal club so bad. He came in and played for Montreal for a year. So I got to know Tim quite well. We've maintained a friendship over the years, and I'm really happy for him, and he is of course a terrific addition to that illustrious list of Ford C. Frick Award winners that I get to look at every year. I still can't quite deal with my name being on that list, but I love looking at those other members.
Well, you just have to hear the voice and the stories, and I know you belong there very, very high on the list. Dave, thank you so much. A pleasure.
Thanks, Marty. Thanks for having me.
All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader. Well, I'm sorry.